Amistad and Harper Audio present The Moment, Thoughts on the Race Reckoning That Wasn't, and How We Can All Move Forward Now, by Bakari Sellers. This is the author. To my children, nieces, and nephews, and all the founders of SNCC, this book is about standing on the shoulders of giants and boldly looking toward the future. Introduction. Behind the photograph. Oftentimes, I find myself staring down at an image of seven young black men wearing trench coats. The black and white photograph is particularly special to me, considering the recent passing of one of the men in the photo, the legendary actor Harry Belafonte. Also included in the picture are future Congressman John Lewis, Bill Hall, my father Cleve Sellers, Willie Ricks, James Foreman, and Sidney Poitier. Apart from the two entertainment celebrities, all the men were part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, during the Civil Rights era. The picture was taken after Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier posted $250 bond for the men to be released from jail. Earlier that day, on March 21, 1966, decades before the launch of an international anti-apartheid movement, Daddy, John Lewis, and the other SNCC men had walked into the South African consulate's office in New York to protest the barbaric racial segregation system in that country. Days prior to their arrest, they had marched into the South African embassy in Washington, D.C., demanding to speak to the ambassador to protest South African atrocities, including the violent attack on demonstrators in 1960, known as the Sharpeville Massacre, during which 249 protesters, 50 of which were women and children, were shot, wounded, or killed by white South African police. Back in New York City, Daddy recalled, the men demanded to speak to the South African Consulate General, but the police were called and arrested all of us. As the police began to transport them to Rikers Island, John Lewis called Belafonte, a New York native, and that's when Belafonte and Sidney Poitier rushed over to bail them out. Lewis and Foreman, both top SNCC officials, would often call on prominent black men like Belafonte to help. Why? Because there was nobody else to call. African Americans were mostly in this battle alone, and my father believes we're still in it alone. I once asked him how he feels about our present times, when so much of what he fought for in the 1960s is being ripped away. We're back to the starting point, Dad said. We're at about 1954. We thought everything was becoming so good for us that we were flying along thinking we were doing all kinds of good things, romanticizing our plight. But there's nothing romantic about our plight, about our situation, and we must get back to the drawing board because nobody is going to fight and win victories for the African American community, but the African American community. And that's the reason this picture sticks out to me. And it is also why I wrote this book. The photo is the embodiment of the movement, the embodiment of SNCC, the embodiment of black people fighting for change and against injustices. It's also a cross-section of black people coming together, similar to what we saw during the Obama campaign, of entertainment people meeting popular culture, the proverbial rubber meeting the road. During the civil rights period, as in this photograph, you'd often see esteemed entertainers with average folk like my dad, all joined together for a common cause, to raise awareness and to fight for what they believed was right. My father often observes that with one fell swoop, black celebrities today with great wealth, like Kanye West, could have helped fix so many black issues, but they squandered the opportunity. However, I say there are a lot of individuals who are meeting this moment, and most of what they do, you've never even heard about. You don't know the work that Will Smith is doing because he doesn't talk about it, or what Charles Barkley does, or Shaquille O'Neal, or Beyonce and Jay-Z. There are a lot of celebrities putting their shoulders into this moment, but I am one who doesn't believe people with money are obligated to help. The way I look at it, if you want to be rich and have a Ferrari, a Porsche, and a Tesla, and live in a gated community and not contribute, that's fine with me. Literally, it is. Because if you don't want to be a part of the movement, if you don't feel like that's your place, I'm not going to knock you. Believe me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?